You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, folks, well, 1 hour down, two still to go for the Saturday, June 29th live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here with you for the entire 3 hours this evening. And we're broadcasting from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Busy show. It's only going to get busier. We're going to be talking this hour about three fairly significant Supreme Court rulings that came down over the course of the last couple of weeks. And then in the third hour, we're going to get back into a hodgepodge of news, a variety of stories that we think you need to know about. But first, I want to get to Chad in Maryland, who's been waiting patiently since the last hour. Chad, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here, sir. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing great. This is Keith, Chad.
Yes, how are you doing, Mr. Keith?
Doing all right, sir. What's your take?
Yeah. Sorry?
What's your take?
My take is that on the gay agenda, I'm glad people are waking up to the Jewish Zionist influence. And to the Zimmerman case, Trayvon did beat on him, but Zimmerman did follow him. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's guilty or not. Not to me. I don't like the public outrage about this. There should be. There's worse things to worry about.
Well, just let me say this. What is the neighborhood watch block captain supposed to do but be nosy about strangers in the neighborhood that look like they're up to no good? If you're not, you know, that's the whole premise behind having neighborhood watch. And let me tell you, in a place like Memphis that has majority black population, they sell neighborhood watch like, you know, it's Pronto Pups at the fair. They are so interested in getting black neighborhoods to have neighborhood watches, you almost hurt for them. So consequently, neighborhood watch is not, one, a racist concept.
Okay.
Two, neighborhood watch is what Zimmerman was. He was the duly elected and authorized captain of the neighborhood watch for that gated community where he was. Yeah. If he hadn't been nosy, he wouldn't have been doing his job.
And even if he was following, it doesn't mean he should.
Yeah, and on the other hand, if he was following, you know, we have no indication that he did anything provocative. Apparently to people like this, what was her name, the star witness for the prosecution, this black hood rat type person that they had, whatever her name was. She thinks it's provocative to ask a black person what they're doing in a gated community when the person asking the question is not just the local busybody, it is the head of the neighborhood watch. Okay, Chad, your take on that.
So you're saying that he didn't racially profile him?
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that racial profiling, look, we have a situation in America where 70 to 80% of the violent crime in America is committed by black people, who are 13% of the population. If you willfully ignore that reality, I guess you're not racially profiling. If you cope with that reality, if you take that reality into account, are you racially profiling, or are you just using common sense?
Well, I mean, I think most of the crimes are low-grade drug offenses, but most of the crimes that are committed are basically in black neighborhoods. That's where
look, I'm just talking about total numbers, okay? Total numbers, regardless of where they occur. Those numbers are 70 to 80% of violent crime, murders, burglaries, muggings. Those are committed by black people. Hello? You know, if that's a reality that we're all required by this alchemy called political correctness to ignore, we are sitting ducks as people. In other words, you've got to suspend common sense and intelligence in dealing with crime. And unfortunately, you know, most rational people are unwilling to do that.
And Chad, you know, and for the blacks that do play into that, dare I say, stereotype, I mean, these are numbers from the, you know, United States Department of Justice. These are FBI statistics. But, you know,
okay. They
certainly do a disservice to the people like Bill Cosby, who I think has tried to have a positive influence in black communities, you know, to overlook it. And to say that, you know, that you know, they do all of these things, that these statistics exist because of poverty or because of circumstance, you know, I don't necessarily buy. But that, you know, it does do a disservice to the members of the black community that are law-abiding and do go out and are productive citizens. And we got a couple of minutes left this segment. Chad, the final word is all yours.
Well, I just wanted to also say that there are mostly minority officers that pull over black people, so it's not mostly white cops that pull over black people anymore. I just want to establish that. I just want you to get an overview of Trayvon Martin, and I can't wait to interview Mr. Keith Alexander on my show, and that's my word.
Right, Chad, I'm looking forward to that. And let me just say this. Your comment doesn't stop them from charging racism. We had a situation a couple of years ago where a black guy was suing the Georgia state troopers $10 million for racial profiling. Of course, the fact that the guy that arrested him was a black officer didn't faze him a bit. So apparently, you know, that you can't win on this situation. You are required to be stupid and to ignore, you know, very reliable data about crime and who the criminals are in order to satisfy the dictates of political correctness. And it's a stupid thing, and I'm glad that people do ignore it, because if they don't ignore it, they're sitting ducks.
Right. Thank you.
Chad, thank you for the call. Thank you for your support and friendship. Happy to have you listening tonight, and we look forward to working with you more moving forward. Keith, that being said, this hour we are going to focus on the courts. We're going to transition away from the Zimmerman trial. And I'll agree with Chad on that point, too. Whether you are pro or anti-Zimmerman or pro or anti-Trayvon or just ambivalent, this should not be a national news story either, especially the way it's constructed with this guy being Hispanic, being, you know, cast as a white guy. Well, I've heard he's half Jewish. I've heard a lot of stuff. Who knows? But you can just look at him and know. I mean, he's not going to be. You're not going to confuse George Zimmerman with a Norseman. Yeah. All right. So this shouldn't have been a story. But I'll agree with Chad that this has been blown out of proportion entirely. Either way, you fall on it. But we are going to stay in the courts, though. Moving forward this hour, we're going to be talking about SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, and their latest treachery. I don't know if there's been a good ruling out of SCOTUS in 100 years, but we're going to talk about it. Stay tuned, folks. It's only going to get worse. I promise. Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
You know, I said that the rest of the show is going to be downhill, but I forget that we have such great bumper music. The legendary Del Shannon, Searching. And then Art. Art's bumps are probably the best part of any given show. The great Art Frith, our former producer, the Lord of the Board, as he was nicknamed by Winston Smith. And he still does production work for us, even though he's retired and has moved to Michigan. He still does production work for us, including all those great spots with all the great music that I love. And it's all about what I love, of course. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He loves me. And he knows me. He knows me well. He knows my music. Okay, Keith. Well, we transition from the good music of Del Shannon, and we go back to, unfortunately, the standard fare here. We're going to be talking about those high-profile cases out of the Supreme Court, some of the rulings that have been handed down. But first, we're going to go to Denver and talk about perhaps a lesser-known story, although it did make national news. A transgendered 6-year-old has won a civil rights case to use the girls' bathroom at his, I guess, what, first grade class? If you're 6, you got to be in first grade, so you're in elementary school. So they're calling this person a transgendered girl, which means it's a boy, a 6-year-old with male genitalia. But since his parents would have to be the one claiming this, right? Because what does a 6-year-old know? What 6-year-old, you know, would think that? What 6-year-old brings a lawsuit claiming he's being discriminated, that his civil rights are being violated, that he needs to use the girls' bathroom? I mean, his parents are obviously doing this. And if that isn't child abuse, folks, then there is no such thing. I'm just going to read the story. This is one of the sickest things. I'm telling you, you know, America is so corrupt. If we don't suffer fire and brimstone, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want to speak for God, but what could they have possibly have done that would have been more perverse than this? And here's the story. Out of Denver, Colorado, a 6-year-old transgender girl, which means, again, he's a boy, will be able to return to school after winning the right to use the girls' bathroom. The New York based Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund announced the ruling in favor of Coyle Mathis on Sunday. Lawyers plan to explain the ruling in Denver on Monday. This was last week. The group filed the complaint on behalf of Catherine and Jeremy Mathis. These would be the parents of this boy who claims to be a girl, or they think is a girl. The parents claim that claiming the first grader had been discriminated against at the elementary school in Fountain, Colorado, near Colorado Springs. The school district declined to discuss the case, but Coy's parents said they were told in December that she, the article refers to this boy as a she, had to either use the bathroom in the teacher's lounge or the one in the nurse's office after the holiday break. The Mathises feared that going along with that would stigmatize Coy and open her up to bullying. Keep in mind, this is a six-year-old with a boy with male genitalia, but this story refers to him as a girl because her parents say he's transgendered.
He's going to be stigmatized
This makes me want to absolutely pound the desk here. It's infuriating. The school districts in many states, including Colorado, have enacted policies that would allow transgendered six-year-olds to lose the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. With which they identify, or with which the parents identify them. Here's the story quickly, Keith, and then over to you. The Mathises, this is how this all came about. When this six-year-old boy was 5 years old, he liked to grab his sister's pink blanket. And because he preferred his sister's pink blanket, the parents knew by that action alone, that it was a girl trapped in a boy's body, because that could be the only explanation, right? And so the parents, you know, also this boy didn't like to play with dinosaurs. And so that absolutely just solved the case. So they learned that this boy had a gender identity disorder because he didn't play with dinosaurs and because he once grabbed a pink blanket. And so they have sued to make sure that he can use the girl's bathroom because they think he's a girl. If it isn't child abuse, Keith, there is no such thing. This is sick. These parents deserve to be caned. And God help this kid. God help this kid from these monstrous, sick, perverted, vile, degenerate parents.
In other words, liberal parents. Okay? That is the all-encompassing term that includes every other adjective that you used in that last diatribe, James. Let me tell you, these parents should lose custody of their child. They're afraid that their child will be ostracized because he's a boy and he's not allowed to use the girls' bathroom. Everybody that has an ounce of common sense knows that he's going to be ostracized because his parents are insisting that he use the bathroom of the opposite sex to himself. These parents apparently are going to make their child, they're going to sacrifice their child on the altar of political correctness. He's like one of these children, black children, that was made to be a forerunner or one of the test cases in school integration cases. They don't care what they inflict upon their child, what type of psychological damage they inflict upon their child. They do it because, just like Hollywood making movies like Red Tails, they have a mission that they consider more important than raising the child that God has given them. Their mission is to advance the standard of liberalism, just like Hollywood is more interested in advancing the standard of liberalism than making money, as movies like Red Tails and other stinko bombs at the box office have proven time and again. Now, let me tell you what all this I was watching a movie this week at the Orpheum, which is the old grand movie theater in Memphis, called Pillow Talk from 1959, starring that great studly male, alpha male, Rock Hudson, who is gay as a goose, as we all know, and Doris Day. This was one of the original chick flicks. And basically, it followed the old theme, the one that is always in pulp fiction, all these pulp romances, you know, with pictures of Fabio on the cover, of how the beautiful princess gets the alpha male to give up his philandering ways and commit and become hers and hers alone. Okay? That's the premise of the movie. Well, this movie just had all sorts of subliminal clues and dog whistles for the leftist agenda. Of course, nobody in the audience back then knew that Rock Hudson was gay. All of Hollywood knew he was gay. The Hollywood Inquirer was about to, run a story on it, and Henry Wilson, who was a man, the talent agent that instituted the male casting couch for homosexuality in Hollywood to match the female casting couch that had existed since Hollywood began, well, he was the guy that gave us these beefcake stars for the 50s like Troy Donahue, Tab Hunter, Rock Hudson, all those, you know, kitschy names that they had back then. Well, they had a episode in this movie where Rock Hudson, in order to escape Doris Day and Tony Randall seeing him, jumps into a doctor's office, which happens to be a gynecologist's office, and says, I'm here. I've got an upset stomach. I want to be checked. And all the women are looking at him. And then he scoots out, and the doctor comes out and says, you know, this will be a breakthrough for medical science. There's so much that our prejudices prevent us from knowing. This was in a 1959 movie. They apparently planned ahead so well that they, in 1959, were setting things up for this transgendered baloney. Now, we're going to pick up from this, tie that all together with this episode and with this story right after these words from our sponsor.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We've got three fairly significant, to say the least, Supreme Court rulings to get to in the next couple of segments. Keith, I want to let you give you the opportunity to wrap up your commentary that you carried us into the break with, and then we got to get to some of these the latest monstrosities out of the Supreme Court.
Okay, now we were talking about, you know, it's often said, does art imitate life or does life imitate art? Well, it's obvious that life imitates art because as early as 1959, Jewish-dominated, which means liberal-dominated, Hollywood was setting the table for transgenderism. Why in the world is the left interested in something as loony as that? Why? Because they are primarily destructive. They want to destroy Western civilization, American society, European society, as it has existed, and they want to strike at its very foundations. It's no accident that in the 50s, Herbert Marcuse, who was the great popularizer of cultural Marxism in America and the world, you know, in the 1968 French Parisian riots, they marched under the banner of Marx, Mao, and Marcuse, okay? Herbert Marcuse, a Jewish cultural Marxist that fled Nazi Germany, was in the OSS in America, taught at Columbia University and then at San Diego State and some other places, who was the primary guru of women's rights and of the sexual revolution. He wrote a book in the 50s called Eros and Civilization, which preceded the movie Pillow Talk, in which he said that we needed to have women abandon lives of monogamy and childbearing and live sexual lives of, and these are his words, not mine, polymorphous perversity. What, pray tell, is polymorphous perversity? Polymorphous perversity was non-procreative sex, any type of sex that would not result in making babies, in other words. Sex as recreation, not procreation. That's why there was this great uptick in the sexual revolution in sodomy, in homosexuality, bestiality, everything that you can do sexually that is not going to cause babies to be created. We had a blog entry last week about bestiality. Is that the next frontier after homosexual rights seems to be a done deal now? And the Supreme Court, of course, fell right in line with this, as we expect all of our institutions to do in liberal-dominated America today. And somebody suggested on the blog roll that is polygamy going to be the next frontier? And some listener wrote, no, polygamy will never be the frontier because polygamy is not non-procreative. If they start touting polygamy, some alpha male may start impregnating multiple women and cause the white birth rate to rise. Heaven forbid such a result as that. The left doesn't want that, so you're not going to. All the Mormons, all the old-time Mormons out in Utah and anyone else who, the Muslims, you know, that have four wives and whatnot, fear not, you're not in the crosshairs of the left, because polygamy is the last thing that they want to recommend. They don't want alpha males having their options opened up so they can have they can make babies with multiple women. Pedophilia, bestiality, sodomy, masturbation, those are the things that they are going to tout as opposed to procreative sex. As crazy as that sounds, we're seeing it playing out right here. Who in their right mind 30 years ago would think that gay marriage, one, would be a serious issue, two, would carry the day, and that the Supreme Court would find that the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution, 14th Amendment, prohibits not allowing gay people to marry one another. And now we're going to another new frontier. We can apparently, in our great Solomonic wisdom, can look at a six-year-old child and determine whether or not he is a transgendered individual or not. Heaven forbid. It is a mad, mad world. You know, you can't make this stuff up, James.
Sadly, you can't. It's worse than your worst nightmare. The Supreme Court has overturned 6,000 years of common sense, decency, and tradition. Sam Bushman covered this excellently and expertly on his show, The Liberty Roundtable, on Thursday of last week. And as he pointed out, the Republican appointees sold us out like the traitors that they are, and that we knew they would be. I mean, anybody who thought that there might be a favorable outcome to the DOMA case was, they were foolish. The will of the people in California has been rejected by a handful of robed thugs, as is always the case. The federal government is now backing the same-sex agenda, using the courts to do their bidding. These are the conclusions that Sam has drawn, and he's absolutely right. Obama told a lie. He says he's not going to force churches to conduct gay weddings. Let's see how long it takes before that's not the case. Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy, you know, Chick-fil-A last year was leading the charge for traditional, again, decency and common sense on this issue. But they are waffling now, like those waffle fries that they sell. CEO Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A said that the founding fathers would be ashamed. This was something that he tweeted of the Supreme Court rulings. It was later deleted from his account, and Chick-fil-A, the fast food chain, backed away from his comments. It goes on and on. An ex-John McCain strategist has been hired by the GOP to help them make a move in the right direction on gay marriage, which we know means complete capitulation and surrender. The Democrats who voted for DOMA cheered its end. You know, what was interesting, and Sam covered this too, Barack Obama was in Africa this week, and he was promoting sodomy in Africa. To their eternal credit, even the spear chuckers in Africa have better sense than Americans, not most Americans, but at least the American media and the power elite. I mean, most Americans believe just like we do on all the issues, including this one, I truly feel. But at least, you know, the tribes in Africa are more well-rounded and well-reasoned on the issue of sodomy. They hooted him down. He was over there in Africa saying that they need, you know, praising the gay agenda, the homosexual agenda. And you know those people aren't for it, to their, again, everlasting credit. You know, it's interesting. He goes over there to ramrod homosexuality down their throats. But while he's over here, yeah, no pun intended, while he's over here, you know, he speaks out against slavery. Why isn't he speaking out against slavery in Africa? Wouldn't that be far more appropriate, considering that almost all of the countries that still practice slavery and still trade in slaves are in Africa? But he didn't go over there to Africa to call them out on slavery. No, that's the white man's guilt. You know, we haven't practiced it in 200 years, but that's our problem. He didn't go over there to talk about that. He went over there to praise sodomy, which they, again, to their everlasting credit, don't accept.
Can you imagine their consternation at having the first black president of the United States calling them out on heterosexuality and saying that they were bad people because they were so heterosexual? Go figure. They must say, you know, there's this black movie about an African guy that finds a Coke bottle falling from the sky, and the name of it is The Gods Must Be Crazy. They must have to resurrect that name of that movie as the subtitle for Obama's African trip, The Gods Must Be Crazy. But this is, you know, what this shows you about the churches, for example, James is bringing out. We had an article on the blog roll last week, not last week, or maybe the week before last, about Exodus International, which is this fundamentalist Christian group that supposedly tried to change the sexual orientation of homosexuals back to heterosexual. They have thrown in the towel. They have apologized for their evil efforts.
And disbanded.
And disbanded. So consequently, what does that show you about the churches of America and Europe and Christianity generally today, at least in the white part of the world? In Africa, the black churches have not banished common sense from their confines, but they have over here. What it shows you is that in America, in particular, your church is probably enemy-occupied territory. Its true religion is no longer Christianity, it's liberalism. If that's the case, you better find a good church or start home churching, because you're going to feed your children with bilge and heresy if you don't.
After these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Get on the show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Can we rewind about 30 seconds of that tape and just do that again? As the good Lord is my witness, tonight at the very end of the show, we're just going to play a Four Seasons song to kind of sanctify. Yeah, mellow out a little bit at the end of the show. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to pull that up here, and we're going to do that at the very last, about 2 minutes left to go in the last segment. We're going to just play a feel-good oldie.
Which will have to be a
Four Seasons song, absolutely. All right, so anyway, Keith, we got a email in for you from a listener in Kentucky, and we're going to get to that before the end of this segment, and we're going to spill this over into the third hour. We're going to talk about the voting rights ruling and some other stuff that the Supreme Court has done. But as far as the sodomite agenda, you knew that they were going to, anytime it's a major social issue that comes before the court, they're always going to bank hard left. Even though the vast majority of, even in California, as backwards as they are, even most Californians still have the good sense to think normally on something as heinous as sodomy and homosexuality. Not to say that the whole country, I mean, you know, especially middle America, I mean, you know, come on. It's, you know, this was brought up on the ballot in Tennessee, what, in 2004? And I think 2004, 2006, sodomite marriage was on the ballot in Tennessee, and 86% of the people voted against it. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter what 86% of the state of Tennessee voted, because five Supreme Court justices know better than we and always have. So that's, you know, what's going on here. I saw MSNBC, you know, when they were voting on the, reporting on this right after the ruling was handed down, they were just trembling. You know, their bodies were just trembling in ecstasy as they, reported the ruling. And the plaintiffs in this case, against, the proposition in California were there. They were interviewing them, and Barack Obama called them on a cell phone and said how proud he was, even though Barack Obama himself, when he first ran for president himself, was against this agenda. But I mean, isn't it funny how, you know, he he's just going to do what he's told and say what he's told to say. But nevertheless, MSNBC was interviewing the two lesbians. And at first I thought, well, how were these two the plaintiffs? Because one's a man and one's a woman. I had to watch it for a few minutes to know that the woman that had her hair cut like a butch and was the one wearing, you know, man's clothes was actually a woman. You know, you don't know. But anyway, so they were there. But yeah, so that's normal. They're normal. Jason Collins is normal. This guy who decided to extend his NBA career by coming out as a homosexual, even though he was living with a female fiance last year, but he's a sodomite now, and so he's going to get picked up for another year. But he's normal. He's good. These degenerates in California that were the plaintiffs against DOMA, you know, they're solid. Tim Tebow's radical. He's beyond the pale. We're extremists. Tim Tebow's extremist. So what did you expect from the Supreme Court? What did you expect from a court that is, you know, 60 years ago was ruling against the interest of the people and against the will of the majority of people with Brown versus Board? You thought they were going to do something decent? You thought because George Bush, the neocon, Bush, the anti-white Bush, you thought because he put a couple of people on that court it was going to break your way? Folks, you're deluded. I do think Scalia is solid. I think maybe Thomas too.
Scalia sold us out.
We're here, sold us out. Scalia. I think Scalia was on the right side on this issue. I'm not to say that Scalia has never sold us out and never has always ruled in favor.
Thomas
but,
is the only one who doesn't sell us out.
Ironically, Thomas is the only one that we can probably bank on. But again. Look, I mean, you knew it was coming. I wasn't even worried about it. I didn't even get my hopes up because I knew, I mean, it was inevitable that the fix was in on this. Keith, a couple of final words about the DOMA ruling, and then at the top of the third hour, we're going to get into some of the other significant rulings that SCOTUS handed down this week, and a couple of other stories that we think you need to hear that aren't related to anything we've talked about thus far.
Well, I could say a lot, but I'm going to save some of my comments for a reply to this email that we got. But basically, 86% of the people be damned. 86% of the people in the southern states in 1954 were in support of segregated schools. There was no legitimate constitutional 14th Amendment argument against segregation being in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. Do you know why? Because the same Congress that enacted the 14th Amendment also enacted a rule to have, they also established a racially segregated school system in the District of Columbia. Back then, the District of Columbia wasn't considered a city. They didn't have a mayor. They didn't have a city council. They were ruled directly by Congress. And the same Congress that passed the 14th Amendment with in it has the Equal Protection Clause, they also created a racially segregated school system. So in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. So consequently, it's obvious that they did not consider racial segregation to be a violation of equal protection. But, you know, forget about all that. So consequently, this is what we've always said. Judicial review is the way that the 3% gets to govern the other 97% of America. It is the foolproof way for the liberals to advance their agenda. It has been since 1954, and it hasn't changed. This is the way that they absolutely ignore the public and the people that they rule. We're serfs. This is the road to serfdom.
Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is at home recuperating from his surgery, is text messaging me steadfastly throughout the show as he listens to us on one of two local affiliates that carries the Political Cesspool. And he said in response to the story that we're covering, Andrew Jackson once told the court that they made the ruling, now let them enforce it. What happened to the day when we used to have presidents like that? And when Andrew Jackson was the lesser of two choices between he and Davy Crockett, and Andrew Jackson, one of the greatest presidents of all time. So, you know, we used to have to choose between people like Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett. You could not possibly go wrong because both were incredible men. And now we're going to the day where we have to choose between losers like Obama and Romney and John McCain. What happened to the day that our people used to produce men like Andrew Jackson, who said the court made their ruling, let them enforce it? And, you know, Sam Bushman and I went with Eddie Miller and Kurt Crosby and visited Andrew Jackson's grave just last year. I got to work this question in, Keith, because we're running out of time. This came in from a listener for you, and it reads thusly. I'm a lawyer, but was not around during the civil rights movement. That being said, do you think it was foreseeable that the civil rights movement would lead to its present result? Do you remember prominent politicians saying this? Do you see political correctness leading to an outlawing or hate speech or other restrictions on free speech? Keep up the good work. That comes from Bill in Kentucky, who is a loyal listener and contributor to the show.
The answer is yes to all of those questions, Bill. This is what was predicted by the Southern senators and congressmen that signed the Southern Manifesto in 1956, vowing unending opposition to the Brown decision and its dictates. Even the Supreme Court realized they'd gone a bridge too far. That's why you had Brown 1 that said that racial segregation violated the Equal Protection Clause in public schools, and then it was almost immediately extended to every other area of public life in which racial segregation played a part. Public swimming pools, public parks, you name it, it was illegal, okay? That's one of the things that we need to keep in mind, that this was, it was predicted by people like Richard Russell, Senator of Georgia, Strom Thurmond of South Carolina, people like this, James Eastland of Mississippi, that this would usher in a new era of tyranny, of what Paul Craig Roberts and also Justice Robert Jackson, who was on the Supreme Court that decided the Brown decision, an era of critarchy. Critarchy is an oligarchy of judges, an illegitimate oligarchy of judges ruling America. That's what we have now as a result of the civil rights movement. It is basically the discovery of the philosopher's stone by the left. This is the fail-safe way that they can get their progressive change enacted into law despite the protests of the vast majority of the American people. As I've said many times before, judicial review is the way that the 3% rules the other 97% of Americans. And just as we predicted, when they run into problems with the rank-and-file people, the masses, with these ballot referendums like Proposition 8 in California, and black people were the ones that, even in progressive California, pushed the anti-gay marriage forces to victory. And, of course, like I said, Jewish power and influence, which is the guiding force, the guiding intelligence behind all liberal change, they didn't like that one bit. NAACP had started to rule, say that they were against gay marriage. Well, their Jewish paymasters told them that if they did that, they weren't going to get any more money. And lo and behold, the NAACP retracted its position and became staunch proponents of the homosexual agenda.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.